ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിതിനിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദേ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോകാവോദുഗ്ധഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സസുതീർഭോക്താദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജലാകാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സൗതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനസ്വൽപ്പതൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽക്കൃവാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ We were talking about Varnashrama Dharma yesterday, and main thing to understand is that the knowledge of the self, spiritual knowledge or self-realization, is beyond Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma is required in the world for the reason that to keep a peaceful situation. But Acharya Swami mentions there that the one who has got the knowledge of the self, whether he is a chandala or a brahmana, it does not matter. He says he is still my spiritual master, guru. So in many instances also he has spoken in a way to support this position. In Viveka Chudamani, in one instance he said, ജാതി നീതി കുലഗോത്ര ദൂരകം നാമരൂപ ഗുണദോഷവർജിതം ദേശകാല വിഷയാദിവർത്തിയ ബ്രഹ്മതത്വം അസി ഭാവയാത്മനി. 254th verse. What he is saying is that the knowledge of the soul is beyond caste and creed and family and lineage, and devoid of name and form, merit and demerit, transcending the space, time and sense objects. So you can see how he makes it explicitly clear that jati, nidhi, kulam, gotram, all these things have no importance and when it comes to self-realizations, right? So that is what is mentioned in that. Another instance again in the Viveka Chudamani, he says, Asha Chindi Vishobameshu Vishobameshu Vishaye Vishayeshu Veda Mrityokriti Rachitra Jadi Kula Gotra Esha Varnidam Prachya Dira Saktiya Deha Davasadi. So many instances, severe thy craving for the sense objects, he says, which are like poison for its very lineage, image of death, and giving up by pride and caste to family and order of life, fling actions to a distance, give my mind, give identification with such unreal things as the body, and fix the mind on Atma. So this statement is shown to prove that he had not given much importance to birth or anything, but the goal of all this is thing. Similarly, Brahma in commentaries in different places he has said that, right? So the goal is to transcend all these things of birth, lineage, caste, creed, and things like that, right? So, the important thing to understand is this Varnashrama Dharmam, and all these things are based on Anatma, not based on the Atma. It's based on Anatma, based like birth, like, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, that's all based on the body only. It's not more than that, not importance to be given. And another thing is, as long as we are living in this world, in avidya, as long as we are in avidya here, right, and there is a society here, right, we will belong to one of the groups in one way or the other, in some form. Some group we will be forced to be part of that group, right? And if you remove this four varnam, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, if you take that away, then we will find some other reason to fight each other. You will form some other political groups. That's what we find. So when people are saying so strongly about varna dharmam, about varnam, right? They forget the fact that if you just avoid this varnam, will all the fighting over? It won't be. Still we will fight on some other pretext, right? So, the reason behind all this is that ragadvesham, as long as it is there in our, and it will be there always, in all places, there is ragadvesham, right? And that ragadvesham was not created by varnashrama dharmam. That is due to our swabhavam, what we have developed over several lifetimes. It has nothing to do with varnashrama dharmam. So that's a misunderstanding. People are saying that because of varnashrama dharmam, we have problems. Actually, it has nothing to do with ragadvesham. Varnashrama dharmam has come from the shastram. Ragadvesham we have created within ourselves. So due to ragadvesham, we will create fighting. On some pretext or the other, we will create fight in this world, right? And as long as we have avidya inside, ragadvesham will be there inside us, right? As long as there is avidya in the world, in us, ragadvesham will be there, right? And that was not created by varnashrama dharmam, right? And if you don't fight over varnashram dharma, we will fight over something else. Right? And whatever dress he puts on, he will have the problem still. Right? So here we are talking about dharmam. Right? And for example, certain things like a person when he is very peaceful in life, is always very peaceful, right? And yes, he controls his senses very well. And he is very austere in his life, right? And he is always clean. And he is tolerating all his sufferings in life. And he is straightforward in life, right? And he has knowledge. He has bhakti. If there are people like that, and then you say that they should not be here, if you say like that, that doesn't make any, that is not very reasonable, isn't it? When someone has these qualities, and if he is living in this world, right, to say that they shouldn't exist, is being unfair to them. Because these qualities are admired by everybody. One being truthful, one being austere, and one who is performing penances and living a simple life and a peaceful, and one who does not, is straightforward, and one who has control of mind, control over senses. When you find these qualities in anyone, it is admirable, no matter who it is, right? So everybody accepts that these qualities are good for anyone. If people have these qualities, it's commendable to have that, right? So even their atheists, they will like these things. Forget about the which religion and all that. But at least even atheists will like these qualities in someone when they see that, right? So because in him what you're finding is that qualities which creates peace in this world, there won't be any that means these people won't have much ragadvesham in them. That is why they are able to be like this. When you have ragadvesham, you won't have it, right? When you have no ragadvesham inside, then you will be peaceful in life, you will be austere, and you will be straightforward. And also, there will be bhakti in the heart, right? And there is knowledge of the self. And he will be tolerant for all sufferings that comes in life. So those qualities in anyone, is everybody likes it to see in someone like that, right? So, so if you see how it evolved from the beginning, how it has evolved, right? In the beginning of creation, there was no varnashram dharma. Why? Because all the people were like brahmanas. They had the brahminical qualities in everyone, right? And brahmana means, actually, what does it mean? It's not birth, spirituality, basically. Basically, he is engaged in spiritual life. That's all his life is centered around, spirituality or adhyatmiyam, right? So if you take it in that way, actually they don't belong to any caste. If they don't belong to any caste, to see them separately is wrong. Because they are separate, they are not mundane people, supposed to be, I'm saying, based on the qualities, that they are spiritually minded people who have no attraction for the attachment to the body, sense gratification, and no identification with the world even, in any way. Totally absorbed in the soul and self-realization, which is outside this world, right? Whereas if you come to Kshatriya, it is different. When Kshatriya comes, he is a ruling class, administration, and that means he is something related to the world. So if you look at Brahmana and Kshatriya, you can see this difference between Brahmana and Kshatriya. Brahmana does not belong to this world. He belongs to spiritual world, basically. And Krishna also says that in the Bhagavadam, that he has come here, and if he puts one more step further, he is in the spiritual world, provided these qualities are there in him, right? So, whereas when you talk about Kshatriya, he has got responsibility, administration. He has to protect others. So all, when all those comes, he has become to the mundane platform, more to the material life, right? Similarly, if you take the Vaishyas also, and they are business people, they are also related to the world, right? And not to talk about Shudras, he has to do a lot of service to everybody else. So all the other three, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, they have material obligations, material activities, they are bound by that, whereas Brahmana is not. Brahmana's existence is purely on the spiritual platform, supposed to be on that, right? And therefore, Brahmanas are not given any physical work to do, right? He studies Shastram, and he is established in the knowledge, and therefore it is not fair to call him belong as a caste. To call it as a caste is wrong. He does not belong to any caste, right? And so there is no restrictions on that. Anybody can become a Brahmana. Like we saw, Vidura was a quality by quality wise, he was Brahmana. Vidura was. Vedavyasa Maharshi, he was a Brahmana. And similarly, many Vishwamitra and Parishuram, all of them had Brahminical qualities in them. That is what they were admired for, right? Now, what has happened? They've all gone, is not. Not only Brahmanas are not there, Kshatriyas also not there now anymore. You can see that in the world, what goes on. We don't have Kshatriyas. What we have got is Shudras mostly, isn't it? Their nature, Vaishyas and Shudras basically. Brahman and Kshatriya has gone completely, right? And anybody can become a Kshatriya, but it is difficult in this world today, right? And Vaishyas also, not proper Vaishyas anymore. The Vaishyas are also of a different character. Same thing with the Shudras even, right? If you look at Bharatabhumi, there also, somewhere here and there you will find a few Brahmanas or Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras, right? And but even then, they are not acting on the right way. They have also moved away from their... Vaishyas, for example, if you take... We have these Chettiars, they call them, Tamil Nadu, right? They are Shrestas in the Rajasthan, they became Chettiar in the Tamil language, right? They are basically business people. But now if you look at them, they entered into politics and they got into all kinds of other things, moved away from their original system, what they existed with, right? And similarly, there are Varma. The Varmas are normally Kshatriyas, but most of the Varmas are working the government service, doing some jobs. So practically all the Varna Dharmam has all gone, totally disappeared, right? So, but even then, a few people today, very few people, right, they are studying Vedam, Shastram, right, and they are performing Sandhyavandanam. And there are a few people like that here and there in Gurukulam, small children, and a few Brahmana families in some pockets you will find doing that, right? So, if these qualities are present in them, you have to accept them as Brahmanas, right? Otherwise, Acharya Swami says, Tabaganya Gaunam Brahmanyam, he said, right? Otherwise, they don't have the qualities. They are just candidates for becoming a Brahmana. They are not Brahmana yet. they have just become the candidates for becoming a brahmana, you know, apprentice, in other words. They haven't become that yet. So, because if he is a brahmana, then these qualities must be there. Which one? That control of mind, control of senses, knowledge, and austerities, cleanliness, all these are his svabhava. This svabhava must be there in him. Only then you can accept them as brahmana. Right? So, then, then this chadurvarnim, right? So their svabhava, we spoke about brahmana, is it not? Mind, shamam, damam, and you will notice that these qualities, when they're spoken, if you look at Mahabharatam and Srimad Bhagavatam also, they are referred or they are given different names, people with these qualities, right? For example, rishis, jnanis, sannyasis, brahmanas, they all have same qualities. These qualities holds good, not only for this brahmana caste, as we call that, but others as well. Qualities are same. If you have these qualities, you can be addressed in any of these names. Rishis, sannyasis, jnanis, brahmanas, whichever way, they are all same. In other words, the main point is that he has knowledge of the soul. That is the most important thing. Atma jnana, knowledge of the self. If a person has knowledge of the self, he should be accepted as a brahmana. That's the main thing. That means he is in spiritual path. He is not in material life. He is in the spiritual path. He has no interest in this world, what goes on here. He understands the world better, in other words. Whereas others, they are all caught up in the world in one way or the other. Brahmanas are supposed to be not affected by the world. And because they understand the world better. Here Krishna is saying, he should be able to keep his mind under control and control of senses, austerities, cleanliness, and then kshama, tolerance, truthfulness, and straightforwardness, right? And knowledge of the shastram. And he has deep penetration into the shastram, and shastram is working in him. Jnanam and vijnanam, both. Knowledge and realization of that. That means he will live by the shastram. Above, more than that, he has shraddha and bhakti. In whichever sampradayam he comes. Right? If you have all that, Krishna is saying there, brahma karma svabhavajam. You see that verse? Shamo dama tapashavajam shandi arjam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam, he said, right? So, if these qualities are there in anyone, what that means is brahmanyam has come to him. Brahminical nature is called brahmanyam. So that brahmanyam had come to him, right? That means he is, spiritual flowering has happened in him. Spiritually, he has become alive. Otherwise, everybody is in the material bodily platform, right? But in someone that spiritual flowering happens, these qualities will, if these qualities are coming in a person, if you see anywhere, That means spiritual flowering has happened in him. Spirituality has developed in him. Let's look at the Kshatriya now. What the next word? Shauryam tejo dhridhir dakshyam yuddeja pyabalayanam danam ishvara bhavascha kshatram karma svabhavajam. Shauryam, shuvrasya bhava, teja, pragalbhyam, dhridi, dharanam, sarva avastasu anavasada bhavadi yaya dhritya thambidasya dakshyam dakshasya bhavaha sahasa pratyulpanyeshu karyeshu avyamohena pravrtihi yuddheja abhi abalayanam abaramuhi bhava shatrubhyaha danam deyeshu muktahastada ishvara bhavaha chaha cha prabhu shakti pragadigaranam ishiravan prati. Kshatriyas swabhava by nature, shauryam. Shaurya means shurabhava. That means you can't easily subdue him. He has that strength in him, able to. Good courage. He is not frightened of anything. Fearless, in other words. Right? And actually, there is no need to say this to Arjuna. See, he's a kshatriya, isn't he? So, without saying all this is understood, Arjuna understands better than anyone else, right? So, Arjuna is the best example for this, for a kshatriya, right? Tejasa, you see that? Shauryam tejasa. What is this tejasa? Tejas is an interesting thing, right? If you see him, tejasa means, automatically you will respect him. Automatically it comes in others' mind, a respect for a kshatriya, right? And that is required, because only then administration is possible. If everybody is very subdued and sublime, nobody will listen. So therefore, this kshatriya requires this tejas. Then automatically others feel respect towards him when they see him, right? So, and that is what the kings had. The kings were like that. All kings were like that, right? And so when we talk about kshatriya, it's not in that way as a king only, but in kings you find this quality, kshatriya quality, right? And these symptoms, what that is spoken, it is required in this world, right? For example, fearlessness, right? Truthfulness and straightforwardness. All these things automatically will be present in them, in this nature, this of home, right? So, when they have these qualities, satyam, arjavam, and shauryam and all that, what happens is, in his presence, others will listen. Otherwise, others won't listen. You see, this is the problem. That authority, they got that authority. When they speak, others will listen. Right? And that is called a tejas. Able to command respect from others by their very nature. That is tejas. And kshatriya kings all had that. They were like that. But they have gone now and they've taken all their power away from their hands and put them in this democracy, and all kinds of people are now in their position, right? So, and that personality is coming from their goodness. They are good people in the sense that they are honest, straightforward, and they are fearless. So a combination of all these good qualities suitable for commanding respect from others. That's the benefit of the kshatriya nature, right? And not that, it's not that they got a white body, white skin, that they have become kshatriya. It's not like that, right? So, tejas, you have to understand how that comes, right? Tejas is not that bodily effulgence or bodily features. It is that their presence, what happens, right? Sanidhyam, they call it. In their presence, right? For example, sometimes when devotees, white devotees, right? When they are shaved up and they put tilak on and shikha on and nicely dressed, People used to say how they look like first class devotees. People have that. And Prabhupada used to tell people, look at these devotees, how pure they look. That will be there when you have a white body, if you put all these things, you will look little different, isn't it? So Indians are looking all these things and thinking that this is Tejas. And it's not Tejas. Tejas is different. Tejas is in their presence, mainly, for Kshatriya this is important, Tejas. In their presence, what they say will be based on this understanding, the truthfulness and straightforwardness, Savijan, Tejas and fearlessness, Dhridir Daksham and such things, right? So, Tejas is that thing due to your character, that comes out through your presence. When it comes through your presence, right? Your character comes out through your presence. In your presence, others get affected by that, right? We say through the Swabhavam, their Swabhavam, it's a particular Shakti Vishesham in them. It's a nature that comes through them due to their Swabhavam. And that is why it is called Tejas. So Tejas is something, it's a little subtle, but you can understand what that means because we all have that experience, isn't it? Certain people are very authoritative, but they're straightforward. They don't mess you around, and they will be very open and straight about things, right? So, and this has to come in a natural way in that person, right? There are two kinds of Tejas. One is Brahma Tejas, and the other one is Kshatra Tejas, right? Brahma Tejas comes from austerities, knowledge, and peacefulness. Brahminical Tejas it is. Brahma Tejas is coming from knowledge. It comes from their austerities, the strength inside, and also the shanti inside, the peacefulness. So it's more spiritual side of that. Kshatra Tejas is coming from fearlessness and courage and able to use the weapons of they get that Tejas. That means they won't run away from the battlefield. And you can see this fight between Brahma Tejas and Kshatra Tejas in the Mahabharatam and all that. Brahmana and Kshatriya, Tejas, their nature, both are Tejas, right? You know this too, big famous story between Vishwamitra and Vasishtha, right? It's a typical example of this fight between Brahma Tejas and Kshatra Tejas, right? So, Vishwamitra went to Vasishtha's ashram. Vishwamitra is a king, right? Vasishtha told him to Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra came with a big entourage to the ashram. Vasishtha told him, you should go only after the prasadam. Have a nice feast and then go, he said. That was always the system. If you go to an ashram, you will be fed, right? Vishwamitra looked at the ashram. It was just a small hut, a cottage-like thing. And he has got a lot of people with him. Who? Vishwamitra. He has come with a lot of people together. And he looked at the cottage and he thought that what kind of feast can they give us? Even if he gets a glass of water, it's considered to be good enough for the situation there, right? So he says, there's a lot of people have come and it will be difficult for you, he told Vasishtha. Vishwamitra told Vasishtha, it will be difficult for you to feed all these people. There's a lot of people who have come, right? So he said, therefore it's not required, he said. We don't need anything, we'll go, he said. Vasishtha insisted. Vasishtha told him, no, you should have the feast and then go, he's right. Because you are a guest. So Atithi Devo Bhava, Vasishtha followed that route. And he also said, you are a king, protecting everybody, so you shouldn't go. And he gave a big feast to all of them. So Vishwamitra was surprised. How did this happen? He says, everything is ready, he said. Sit down, he said, and he put the leaf and everybody sat down and they had a fantastic feast. Right? And Vishwamitra thought himself, even in the palace, in his own palace, he couldn't do it. It's such a short notice, a big feast like this, right? So he was inquisitive to know where this feast has come. And so Vasishtha told him, I have got this cow with me called Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu was given to me by Indra, and it will, for Brahma, and it was given to me for one reason, to perform yajna. Yajna, you require so many ingredients, and all you have to do was to ask Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu provided everything, right? So when Vishwamitra heard about this Kamadhenu, he wanted to have it. And he thought that if I can take this cow into the palace, it will be very nice, because sometimes in palace we get a lot of guests. And if you have a cow like this, you can offer a feast so quickly, right? And why this, in the forest, this rishi needs this? What for? Vasishtha needs that, right? Straight away he told Vasishtha that I will give you a large amount of cows, but you release that Kamadhenu for me. I want to take it with me. The Kshatriyas are like that, authority, isn't it? What they want, they will get it done, the one they want it, right? And he said that I can give you a lot of people to do the service here, lot of cows also, but can you not adjust and send the Kamadhenu with me, right? And Vasishtha said no. Then Vishwamitra told him that I am going to, the government has a policy that if they want to do something, they order and they can take it, isn't it? Governments have got, like they acquire the land. If they want the land for some government purposes, they can acquire it, whether you like it or not. And they don't have to ask your permission. Government wants it, government is taking it. So same way, Vishwamitra told Vasishtha, I'm taking the cow, he said. Right? Vasishtha said, no, I cannot give you that, because Brahma has given to me, this cow to me, for performing yajnam, yagam, for sacrifices, right? And I don't have even the authority to give it to you, because it is given to me for this purpose, right? He tried very hard to negotiate with Vishwamitra. It didn't work. And finally, Vishwamitra decided to take the cow, forcefully, in other words, right? And Vishwamitra couldn't do anything about it, right? Vishwamitra couldn't do anything about it. Just like these days, in almost all places now, the government interferes in all the temples, and they start making decisions in the temples, for which actually they have no authority to get involved in the temple, right? It more or less in the same way, right? So Vasishtha told us this cow, Kamadhenu, or Surabhi, she was named, I can't do anything about it. You may have to manage yourself. I can't do anything about it. I don't have the strength to fight, Vishwamitra. So you have to look after yourself, he said. Immediately, what did Surabhi do? Surabhi created a huge army from herself. She created, because she is a Kamadhenu. Brahma has given, right? And a very powerful army, and that army beat up all Vishwamitra's people, and Vishwamitra had to leave with his people because they were all beaten up by the army created by Surabhi, right? So he felt very offended. Vishwamitra felt very offended, right? So what did he do? He realized that it will be difficult to fight with Vasishtha. So he went to the forest and started performing severe penances, right? And he did penances so strongly that he got a lot of divine weapons he received. And with those weapons he came to fight with Vasishtha, right? Vasishtha was very peaceful. He's a Brahmana by nature. And Vishwamitra has acquired such special weapons to fight, right? And when Vishwamitra started firing those weapons, Vasishtha had his Yogadanda. You must have seen the Yogadanda Rishis have got, and which they put their hands on. They sit there, that Yogadanda, right? He put that in front of Vishwamitra, right? And Vishwamitra's weapons, whatever he has fired, all God dissolved in that Yogadanda. It wouldn't go further than that, right? Vishwamitra was in a distress. He didn't know what to do, he said. So he mentions this in the Mahabharata that Digbalam Kshatram Balam Brahma Tejo Balam Balam, he said. Kshatriya's Balam is nothing compared to Brahmana's Balam. Brahmana's Balam is real Balam. Brahma Tejo Balam Balam. Kshatriya's Balam is not real Balam. Balam means strength, right? Actually, Brahma Tejas is powerful than the Kshatra Tejas, right? So then he realized that he has to become a Brahmana, Brahmarshi, right? Again went to the forest, and there what happened? Menaka came and all that, right? Trishangu came. So ultimately Brahma came, seeing his penance. Vishwamitra was so determined, right? And he gave the title to Vishwamitra as a Rishi. So that is how you see in Vishnu Sahasranam also, Vishwamitra Bhagavan Krishi. It is addressed like that. So, then Vishwamitra says to Brahma, it's not good enough if you tell me I am a Rishi. Vasishtha should tell me I am a Rishi. Right? So, ultimately Vasishtha called him as Brahmarshi. Brahmarshi. He was called like that. After that they became friendly. All the enmity and all that has gone from them, right? That you will see in Ramayana what happened. When Vishwamitra comes one day and says to Dasharatha that I want Ramachandra and Lakshmana to come with me, right? And they were young boys, they were not grown up. So Dasharatha was a little bit skeptical how to send two young boys with him to fight with the Rakshasas who were giving trouble to him, to Vishwamitra in performing his sacrifices, right? So, at that time, Vasishtha told Dasharatha, send them, there will be no problem, because then Vishwamitra will take care of everything. And if Vishwamitra wants something to be done, it will be done, he said. So, he has actually come to take these two children away from here to bless them in another way. So it's better to send them. Like this, on Vasishtha's recommendation only, Dasharatha sent Ramchandra and Lakshmana with Vishwamitra. Right? So send them, and Vasishtha guaranteed nothing will happen, go wrong. Right? So this power of presence, due to the presence, that sannidhyam, or their presence, that strength, what they exhibit, is called tejas, right? So, so one is Brahma tejas, Kshatra tejas, two different types of tejas, right? Here we are talking about tejas in this 43rd verse, Kshatriya tejas. So, Kshatriya tejas is like that. There are so many instances you can see these tejas in the Puranams, Mahabharatam and Ramayanam and all that. How this tejas comes out in people, right? For example, he says here, Tejo Dridhar Dakshyam, right? This is a famous story in Mahabharatam. Krishna went to see the Kauravas before the war for peace negotiations. Krishna went there, right? So, Duryodhana knew that Krishna is coming. He was told that Krishna had an appointment to come and speak to them, right? So, Duryodhana didn't think much of Krishna. He said, he's just a cowherd boy. I don't know what he wants to talk to us. In a mood like that, Duryodhana made some comments about Krishna to them. And he said, that cowherd boy is coming. He always referred to Krishna as a cowherd boy. That's how much he had respect for Krishna, right? So, everybody else, so Duryodhana, what he said to them, that when he comes there, he don't get up from the seat. Let him come and we'll see what he has got to say, right? And so everybody said, yeah, they will agree with that, what Duryodhana said, because Duryodhana is a big boss there, isn't he? He controls everybody. And when he said like that, they all agreed that they will not get up, they won't respect him. And they addressed him, "Your Honor," like you see in the Father. Everything is Your Honor, the same way, right? But when Krishna walked in, the first person who got up was Duryodhana himself. So when Duryodhana got up, everybody else got up, right? So Duryodhana is saying to them, then why had you all got up? I told you not to get up. He says, you got up, so we thought if you don't get up, that also looks awkward. The bosses got up and others didn't get up. It will look more awkward, right? So that is Krishna's tejas. You see that tejas in Krishna. When he walked in, automatically Duryodhana got up first and then followed by everybody else, right? So they said that we couldn't do anything because you got up first, so we all got up, he said, right? So so this tejas is there in Kshatriyas, right? Then dharanam in saying here. Dhridi means that Saujam Tejo Dhridhir Daksham. That whatever happens, not shaken by that, unaffected by that, able to act like that. Like people like us, we get affected quickly with what happens around us, isn't it? They are not like that. They can, anything happens, they are not affected by that. That's their nature, right? Then daksham means suddenly something happens in life, able to handle it without and able to manage it, right? And similarly, yuddhe japi abalayanam, even when you are attacked by enemies, you don't run away. You will fight. You will fight to the last. And you don't run away from the field, right? Then dhanam, charitable nature, ishvara bhavam. Always they need to be in control of others. These are all, here you have to understand that the dhanam, dayesha, mukta hastada, ishvara bhavaja prabhu, shakti prakadigaranam, ishvara van prati. Then their medha shakti is also very good. So, Kshatriya's power is this, that in any stage, they will not be weak. They don't feel weak. Their body is like that. They have a nature in them like that. They'll, in the battlefield, because otherwise you can't fight. If you feel tired and if you feel all the time tablets you need to survive, constantly taking medicines. You know some people how they are. All the time they'll be taking medicines, water, and something so comfortable, they want to make comfortable to sit, seats. All these things are important for them. Otherwise they can't survive. It's just the nature of the people. Kshatriyas are different. They can be so tolerant towards situations. In the battlefield, you can't expect all these facilities, isn't it? Making yourself comfortable all the time. It's not possible. So therefore they have that nature. They'll fight any situations. And if there is something, they can take highest austerities. If the food is not there, they will fight. There's no water to drink, they'll still fight. Right? That kind of nature in them. Able to, all kinds of austerities, they can easily adjust themselves. Right? And they may have to fight in the battlefield for a long period of time. And so, in the morning, they arrive in the battlefield with the bow and arrow. Then they will have to fight till evening. That was the system then, till the sun sets. After that, they'll go. So they should be prepared for that. From morning when they begin the fight, right till the evening, they should be ready to fight. Right? And their body will be hurt in many places with the bows and arrows. With the arrows, there'll be a lot of people would have shot arrows at them. And there could be blood coming out. And there will be, it's not like the way it is now. This is a total different world. So, and with all that wounds, fully wounded, they allow to still fight, right? So, yeah. have to see this. You see, you know these serials, Mahabharatam and Ramayana. That's not how real war happens. In the serials, if you have seen Ramayana, Ramayana Saga is the famous series, right? When you look at that, the way it has been done to give an impression like that, right? But when it happens in real world, it's different, right? Yeah. In Bhagavatam, it talks about that when Krishna was coming from the battlefield, how he was sweating whole body, and all over the body it was covered in dust and dirt, right? And his whole hair was all completely in a state like that, right? So that is how the battlefield is. Not like in the serials, right? So, in spite of all that, when you are so tired, exhausted after the fight, right? you will see that when this battlefield, when Jayadratha was killed, they couldn't kill Jayadratha, they couldn't get him, right? Because he was protected by everybody all around, right? And whole day they were fighting. They couldn't get Jayadratha. So finally Arjuna gave up. Arjuna says to Krishna, what can I do now? He has taken the vow that he will kill Jayadratha the day before the sun sets, he said. So Krishna kept the sun going, not to set. That story everybody knows in the Mahabharatam, right? So he had to look after those horses. And in the middle of that, this fighting is also gone. Krishna was driving the chariot and horses were getting tired. And Krishna knew that. And Arjuna had to kill Jayadratha somehow or the other before the sun sets, right? And we may be thinking, you see, if you go to Kurukshetram today, it's like a ground, a small battlefield. We think that's where the war happened. No, Mahabharata war happened over a very large area of land. Even more than, they are saying even more than Haryana area. It has happened when the war happened, right? It was not in a small land. Today it has come like that. Today that's how 5,000 years ago this happened, right? So it is now something like a cricket ground size, what you call as a Kurukshetram now, right? No, it was hundreds of miles area where this war happened, when the war happened 5,000 years ago, right? And so you can imagine, in such a vast area, this battle is going on, Mahabharata war, right? And they were all running back and forth with the horses on, and to look after the horses, and not to get tired. They can't say anything, I'm tired now, I can't fight. Kshatriyas won't say that. So that strength inside to fight till the end and to win, and that is Kshatriya by nature. That is his dhairyam, or dhairyam, right? Yeah. So, they have to go long, long distances. They have to walk, fight. And you are saying hundreds of miles land was involved in this war. So, then he says, sarvavastasu, dharanam sarvavastasu, anavasadaha bhavadihi. Then, that strength is anavasadhanam. And then, dakshyam, whatever they are doing, do it in the best way. So, when you are a king, when you do karmam, it has to be done with the utmost attention, everything. You can't do it in a sloppy way. It has to be done with the greatest attention, right? Raja dharmam, it is like that. Bhishma talks about Raja dharmam in the Bhishmopadesham to Yudhishthira, right? In the Moksha Parvam, and in the Shanti Parvam also, you will see one of the greatest qualities of Kshatriya is Yuddhejapya Balayanam. You won't run away from the battlefield, right? Under no circumstances you run away from the field, right? Because the kingdom depends on Kshatriya. If Kshatriya is managing things well, the whole kingdom is under his protection, right? So there are many stories like this about Kshatriya kings, right? Many, many Kshatriya kings. One Kshatriya king went to see another Kshatriya king. They talked something, and something went wrong in the conversation. Immediately one pulled the sword and cut the other's throat straight away, without further questioning, right? So they require this Kshatriya viryam in them, right? And in the history, you will find a lot of instances like that, right? Because there is no proper battles now, the Kshatriya viryam has also gone from people. Proper battle is not... Nowadays, battlefield is different, isn't it? It's a totally different way of fighting now. Country to country is fighting. And that means if one country is fighting another country, all and then this media get involved, and then developing all these kind of weapons and how you use them in the battlefield, this has become the... It's not that Kshatriya nature has not involved in that very much, right? So, there is an instance when it says there that one king goes to the forest, and he had an assistant, a kind of a security guard with him to serve him, right? So suddenly they were walking from the tree. A leopard was on the tree. The leopard jumped down, right? The security guard, when the leopard jumped from the ground, the security guard got frightened, and he jumped on the climbed on the tree to escape from the leopard. But what did the king do? He said, he straight away shot the arrow and killed the leopard, and then he shot an arrow and killed the security man also. He didn't like it. The king didn't like it. He says, "You're useless," and he finished him there itself, right? So this Yudhejapya Balayanam is like that. That strength inside, you don't get scared and frightened and run away from there. Dhanam. Dhanam means able to give charity to the people, all his subjects, right? Ishwarabhavam. Ishwarabhavam means because I am a Kshatriya, he doesn't have to show humility to others. He doesn't have to show humility to others, right? And I'm not a king, I'm a humble person. That is not expected from a Kshatriya. He has to know his position, only then people will respect him. Otherwise people won't respect him, right? So Ishwarabhava means not as he is an Ishwara, not in that sense, but that governing power, exhibits his governing power, right? That means able to keep everyone under control. Everybody under control. That is what it is, right? So in order to keep everybody under control, then they have to be respectful to him for that, right? Respectability, in other words. These are all matters related to ahankaram inside, right? You should not take these qualities as spiritual. It has nothing to do with spirituality, what is spoken here. It is all referring to the ahankaram in a person. Ahankaram means jiva. Jiva's nature, that's what is being spoken about, right? So, Krishna is all talking about not spiritual things in these verses. It's all on the material side of life, about a Kshatriya, right? Look at the next verse. Kshatra karmam Kshatriya jade vihidam karma. These are all the karmam for the Kshatriya. Now, about Vaishya, that is the next verse, 44. Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam, Vaishya karma subhavajam, Parijaryalpagam karmam, Shudrasyabhi subhavajam, right? Agriculture. Kshatriyas, from childhood itself, that Kshatriya nature will be there in the Kshatriyas, right? From early days in life, if you observe them, they will have this attraction for administration duty. Similarly, they were trained like that. From early days itself, they were introduced into administration. The royal families, the princes, were introduced into administration. They were involved in administration, and they were trained to to make decisions in that way, right? In the similar way, they were brought into administration and to war and things like that. In a similar way, Vaishyas also. They were introduced into agriculture and business from early days in life, right? And Vaishyas were responsible for looking after the cows. It was their duty for them. It was their main responsibility, maintaining the cows, right? And now you see everything has become very complicated in the way things are now. Because Vaishyas are also not doing, they've gone into industry and business and all that. So therefore, it is now done more or less like a cow protection as a special occupation. It has become like that. But it wasn't like that before. Vaishyas are very capable of managing huge amount of cows and huge amount of bulls as well. They were good at that. Yeah. Why it is mentioned like that is, right, if you have only cows, it is difficult to protect the cows if you don't have the bulls. Bulls were, they knew how to use the bulls to protection of the cows. Therefore, in them days, large amount of cows were taken care of by the Vaishyas and they had people to look after them. So both cows and the bulls were trained that the bulls will protect the cows and they were taken to the forest. Even for wild animals couldn't attack them because of the bulls around, right? And now what happened? And then the bulls produced first-class calves and bulls as well, right? Now you know what is happening. Everywhere it is this injection. What do they call that?
Insemination.
Yeah. They inject, you know, all government departments provide that. Bulls are castrated and bulls are sold for, you know, people are eating them and they are killed and all that. Things happens, right? So, they inject it and that's how they make cows pregnant. In many places it's like that now, right? So in a village, thousands of cows used to be there and there were few people, their only responsibility was looking after the cows. And now you can't get anybody to look after the cows. This is how bad it is, the situation. Everything has changed, right? And in every village there were thousands of cows were present there, right? And when they were taken to the forest for grazing, and cows will go and eat everything, and they were healthy cows, and even wild animals wouldn't attack them because of the bulls were protected that, right? So their security was managed by the bulls. So together, it was a good combination and it was run well. But then now everything gone, right? So, yeah, Krishi Gauraksha Vanijyam. This is all Vaishya Dharma, business, Vaishya Dharma, right? And and then Krishi Gauraksha Vanijyam, Vaishya Dharma Sabhavajam. Then Parijari Alpagam Karmam Shudrasyavi Sabhavajam. To get all these things done, you need people who can do the work. And therefore, people who have got bodily strength and can do a lot of work, they were the Shudras, right? Shudrasyavi Sabhavajam. In this way, four Varnam was spoken, right? So he says, Krishi, Gauraksha, Vanijyam, all coming from Vaishya Sabhavam. Parijari Alpagam Karma Shudra Sabhi Sabhavajam. And if everybody does their allotted dharmam, Vaishya dharmam or Shudra dharmam, what he is saying here is that if they do that, Ajahn Swamiji says here that Vaishya karma Sabhavajam, they will all get, go back, the opportunity to go to heaven, surga prapti, right? Etesham jati vihidanam karmanam sammik anushtidanam surga prapti bhalam swabhavada. if they execute their varna dharmam properly, the result of that is they go to heaven. Because they execute their varna dharmam properly. Or when they come back after the heavenly experience, when they come back, they will get birth in a higher state, right? So, karanandara tu idam vakshyamanam phalam. Now the next verse, which is very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Why varnashrama dharmam? Its importance to what it leads to. That's the next verse, right? So, let us understand this verse. Sve sve karmyani karmani abhirataha sam siddhim lebhade nara sokarma nirata siddhim yadha vindadi tat shrunu. One who is absorbed in his karmam, yeah, whatever it is, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, whatever karmam they are absorbed in, that how they get liberated, right? Because they have executed their karmam properly. Hear that, Krishna says, Sve sve karmanya abhirada sam siddhim lebhade nara sukarma nirada siddhim yadha vindadi tal shrunu. Whatever varnam you belong to, whatever varnam, doesn't matter, right? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, whatever it may be, and whatever kind of occupation you are doing that, right? If that karma, if it is executed in the right spirit of samarpana buddhi, say I am a Shudra, and if I do my karma, Krishna has given me this. This is my dharmam, Shudra dharmam, whatever it may be. If I do that with samarpana buddhi, Krishna is saying here, sve sve karmani abhirata, right? What is the benefit is that chitta shuddhi will come from that. And with that, you become qualified for spiritual knowledge. Chitta shuddhi has to be there first. Only then all this knowledge will work in a person. Spiritual knowledge will be effective only if there is chitta shuddhi. And because we don't have chitta shuddhi, that is why all these things we are listening, but it is not affecting us, really. It's not having any impact on us. It's coming, it's going. Basically, the problem is chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi is not there. All vasanas inside. So what Krishna is saying is, if you do your dharmam, what is given to you, wherever Krishna has put you in that, if it is done with samarpana buddhi, this is why these two important things, samarpana buddhi and sharanagati, right? Sharanagati is bhakti. Samarpana buddhi is for chitta shuddhi. For chitta shuddhi, right? So, samarpana buddhi, if it is executed like that, Krishna is saying that it will lead into chitta shuddhi. That's what will benefit from that. Executing, it doesn't matter, you may be a Shudra, you may be a Vaishya, you may be a Kshatriya, you may be a Brahmana, but whatever it is, you should do that dharmam with utmost sincerity and as an offering to Krishna. Let Krishna be pleased with my karma in that way. If it is done like that, then he says that that person will develop chitta shuddhi and he will become qualified for spiritual knowledge, will come to him, spiritual knowledge, right? And that is what this sve sve karmani abhirada means. Sve sve karmani abhirada, right? That means sam siddhim lebhade nara, means that you are becoming qualified to receive transcendental knowledge. Yeah, you become qualified for that. What that means is that it will work for you. Spiritual knowledge will have it will be. It will work in your life. It will work in your life, right? You will become qualified for receiving spiritual knowledge, right? And this you can see. The famous example, it has happened all over Bharat Bhumi, but Maharashtra saints are the best example for that. All of them came from different occupations. Have you noticed that? Maharashtra saints, if you study their history, they are very famous for that, right? Yaneshwar and that family, they were all from the Brahminical side, Brahminical nature, right? Yaneshwar, Nivrtinath, Sopan, and So, they were all coming from that background. Then Namadev belonged to Vaishya and Shudra, that nature was Namadev, right? And then there were people who didn't belong to any of these things, right? For example, Chokamela, he was a sweeper. He was a sweeper, he belonged to that community, right? Tukaram was a Vaishya, businessman, shop owner, he was a shopkeeper, right? Then there was this Gaur Kumbhar. He belongs to this construction work. He did such things, construction work, right? So, in this way, they came from different varnam and from different occupations, but they are all honored for their bhakti. And they were all liberated souls at the end. How did this happen? That is what this verse is talking about. This verse is referring to specifically for people coming from different varnam, how they become eligible for liberation by executing their dharmam based on the varnam, what they did. And that purified them. So all of them developed bhakti at the end. If you read Tukaram's story and all that, you can see that. How they all became devotees. And that bhakti in their heart. Same what you saw in Yaneshwar and others, Ekanath, they were all Brahminical background. But you see the same thing happened with the Vaishyas, with the Shudras, with the Kshatriyas, everybody. Right? So when Namadev left his body, there is a story that the a wall fell on him, and but they say that when they touched his bones, the sound of Vitala was coming from his body, it seems. That's how pure he was with the holy name, chanting the holy name, right? So, in other words, to such an experience they had spiritually, right? So, in all different varnam, you will find realized souls and pure devotees like that. Great devotees and realized souls, right? In other words, Chitta Shuddhi happened because of their execution of their varna dharmam properly, and they became established in jnana margam. They became established in jnanam, came to spiritual realizations. Jnanam happened to them, right? Now, their stories are well known. These Maharashtrian saints, their stories are well known, right? But there are in other places also, but not so well known. Not so well known. That's why you don't get to hear, but this has been all recorded because of Jnaneshwari and other Eknath Swami's commentary on Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam and all. They have become very popular, all these great personalities, right? So, there is one story which is known in Kerala about this. There was one Swamiji, right? He had disciples and he was a grihastha, and he was a carpenter whole life. But he wrote a book which has become very celebrated, but because it's in Malayalam, it was only limited to Kerala, right? And great scholars have commented on that book, what he wrote, and he was a carpenter. So you can see that it is not, because he's executed dharmam properly, and then he wrote this book. A carpenter writing a book like that, right? He was a jnani, right? Why? Because he has realizations in life, right? Like this, there are many people at different places, but they are not, the Maharashtrian saints are well known because of recorded history there, right? So many people who had realizations like this, but they did their karmam as that was Krishna has put them in, wherever it was, right? They didn't give up their karma, right? And whatever karma they were doing it, they did that throughout their life, till they left this world, right? But at the same time, that karma was not a problem for them in their spiritual advancement. In their spiritual advancement, right? There is also this famous story of Nisargadatta Maharaj, who lived in Mumbai. And he was living in an area which is a very slum area. And he lived more or less the same time when Ramana Maharshi was present, right? Ramana Maharshi's time, there was one problem. What was that? Being a Brahmana, he had a lot of difficulty in dealing with the Europeans, because the nature and their swabhava was different, right? So, it was difficult for him also how to instruct them about anything. But then they found out Nisargadatta Maharaj. Nisargadatta was making BDs. That was his occupation. But he was highly realized. And he was living in that slum area, in the ghettos, right? So they started going to him, because they could relate with him very much better. With the habits, I'm saying. With the habits, right? So, they wrote a book. Somebody who was in Ramanashramam, he went there, and then he was a Dutchman. Morrison or something like that, his name. Morrison or something, you can see that. So, he wrote a book about Nisargadatta Maharaj, and that's how he became popular. But, in spite of that, a lot of Westerners were coming to see him. And when they saw him that he was making BDs, you know how they do that BD, don't you? Then there will be a thing in the front, and this tobacco will be there, and with the hands they keep on doing this. There's a way of, I don't think it is existing anymore. People don't smoke BDs much now. They all upgraded to cigarettes and like our ordinary alcohol, toddy, gone. Scotch whiskey has taken over. In the same way, BDs have gone, cigarettes have taken over. If nobody smokes BD nowadays, never seen that anymore. It may be there, we don't know. But village life has also changed, is it not? So, so the point is that Nisargadatta, they were able to relate with him better, right? And and there was a place where he lived, opposite there were this municipality toilets, everything. It was not an easy place to go to see him, right? But he was a realized soul, Nisargadatta, right? So the point is this, what Krishna is saying here is that whatever may be, wherever you are born, it doesn't matter, right? And whatever may be your occupation, it doesn't matter. But knowledge, spiritual knowledge can still happen, even in such situations. And it is even possible in the animal kingdom, even knowledge can happen. Like in the Bhagavatam, it was mentioned about Gajendra, example, how spiritual knowledge came to him at the end, right? In the Ramanashramam, they had a cow called Lakshmi. And you will see, if you Google, you will find this, right? That Ramana Maharshi used to think that Lakshmi is a liberated soul. Due to some rishi has fallen down, due to some something went wrong in his life, and he had come in the form of a cow. And after that, cow was very peculiar behavior, rishi like nature in a cow. So imagine what that will be like. And Maharshi, after the cow left the body, specifically arranged a cremation for that cow and things like that. There was another girl who used to come from Andhra. At a young age, she left her body in the same way. So, like that, there are people who take birth in all sorts of situations. It's not that everybody will come from only from the Brahminical background. No. They can appear in different species and different backgrounds also, right? Ajari Swamiji says this. He says that you don't have to be a human being even to become self-realized, to knowledge of the self, right? If this experience is inside, spiritual knowledge, It can happen to anyone, right? So, he mentions that in the Shivananda Lahiri. Naratvam, Devatvam, Pashutvam, Kedatvam, Vihagam, birds. In any species, this is possible, right? So, therefore, what the point, what Krishna is driving at is, Svesve karmani abhirada samsiddhim lebhade naram. He says, karmam should not become a obstacle in your spiritual advancement. Right? And you don't have to give up the karmam, whatever you are doing. Right? And only then you may become spiritually advanced. That is not, it has nothing to do with that. Right? In doing your own karmam, you can become perfect in spiritual life. Right? So, siddhim, sokarma niradam siddhim. Right? Ajari Swamiji says, siddhim means chitta shuddhi. That is what it means. Siddhi means chitta shuddhi. Right? Purification happens. Right? That means qualification for knowledge of the self. Qualification for knowledge of the self. Right? And after saying that, if you execute your sodharmam, so karma anushtanam, will you get liberated? Right? The answer is no. Na katham tarhi, so karma nirada siddhim, yadha yena pragarena vindadi talshrunam. How through sodharmam, how you get liberated, how that happens, that is the next verse. 46. Yada pravartir bodhanam, yenam sarvamidam tadam, sokarmanadam abhyarchya, siddhim vindadi manavam. Then, yada pravartir bodhanam, yena sarvamidam tadam, sokarmanadam abhyarchya, siddhim vindadi manavam. It's an amazing verse, that is. Why? whatever you are experiencing in this world, right, in our experience in this world, everything has come from one source, isn't it? The whole thing has come from one source, right? for example, if you look at the oceans, you see there that there is a waves, there is bubbles, ice, and fish, and whales, and so many things like that. But actually, what is keeping them all is, in these different forms, is water there. Right? And in these that same water that you will find plants and trees growing, similarly tortoise and other living entities, right? And water has transformed into all these different forms in the ocean, in the sea, right? In the same way, what we see in this world, right, whatever it may be, right, and similarly the kind of work what different people do, similarly our body, and all the other parts inside this body, like liver, kidney, heart, all these things, right? And similarly, the thing called mind, they are all different in our present state when you look at them, right? For example, the mind, we don't even understand what it is. And what exactly mind is, it's very difficult to define mind. Similarly, our thought waves, which comes in the mind, our emotions in the mind, and what we consider as life, which includes all these things, right? This world, which has come in this different nature, different ways, what is presented before us by Maya, plus this body with all its different components, then this subtle body with the mind intelligence and all that. So it's a combination of various types of things. Right? And with all that, this world has been created in this way. A combination of all types of things, difficult to understand, right? And Vedavyasa Maharshi calls in the whole thing in one sutram, Janmadhyasayataha. If you look at that sutram, it begins in the Brahma Sutram, first sutram. Bhagavadam also begins with the same, isn't it? Janmadhyasayataha. That's how he puts it. Janmadhyasayataha means everything what you are seeing here has come from one source. One source. Everything has come. When you look at the variety here, how they have all come in a different forms, right? So, therefore what they are saying is that if you have connection with that source where it has all come from, right, then you find out that you have also come from there. That's there. I know it's a big thing to comprehend that, is it not? That all these things have come from one source. From one source, right? Including us. And our body also, when you look at it, a mixture of all kinds of things. Liver works in one way, heart works in another way, kidney works in a different way, intestines work in a different way. So even this body, you can see the way it has been built, with different types of parts in the body, and they're all doing different functions. But what Krishna is saying here is the source of all this is one source only. There's only one source, right? And if you can, any experience what you have in this world, right, if you look at this way, then where is this coming? Everything is coming from Atma. That is called Atma, that source, right? And Atma, where is Atma? In us, for example, we say it is in the heart area, where the Atma is present, right? And that is where it is experienced, when you realize the self. That's where it is experienced, right? And all our thoughts, emotions, everything comes from there. Antaryami, we are referring to basically, right? So, this is why you will see in the Bhagavadam, when they mention that, Pipalayana Maharshi said that, this source he's talking about. Yeah? Stitchul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya. That word, right? If you look at that, how did he put that? Put it in this way, that verse 35, 11.3.35. Pipalayana Maharshi is saying, Sthiti ulbhavam pralaya hetura heturasya yal sutna jagara sushuptishu sal bahischa dehendriyasu hridayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra, says Pipalayana Maharshi, right? So, what he is saying is that everything comes from one source, right? And it comes from there and it stays because the source is there. That's why it stays like this. And then finally this variety goes away and it all goes back to the same source where it came from. That is what is called a Srishti Sthiti Pralayam. Srishti Sthiti Samharam means that from one source came all these things, from one source. And it stays like this because of that one source behind it. And finally, when the time comes, they all go back to the same source where it came from, right? So, the important thing to realize there is that source was never created. The source always existed, right? And there is nobody created. That is why he said that sthitibhava pralaya hetu ahetu. There is no cause behind that source. Pralaya hetu ahetu rasya. There is no hetu. Hetu means cause. There is no cause behind that, right? So that vastu has no change. It remains like that all the time. All these things comes and then present in front of us like this as an experience for us now through the senses. And at some point in time, this whole thing goes back into the same source where it came from. Krishna is pointing out that. He says that the yata pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tadam. Yena sarvamidam. All these things are happening because that source is there. You see? That is the most important part. All this is going on here because that source is there. Source is more important, not what is happening here is important. And Krishna is saying, yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tadam. Everything what is happening here, right? In other words, that that is the the source is the reality, not this what is coming out in this form, right? And if you are able to go back to that source and able to operate in that state of the source, then these things won't have any effect on you, what has been created, right? So look at the sky, for example, in the sky, right? In the sky, so many things happen. Clouds come, dirt, the dust comes, light comes, but space is not affected, right? And so in a similar way, Atma, which is the source, or Chaitanyam, Bodham, awareness, consciousness, all this is different word, way of saying the same thing, right? If we, through the process of self-realization, get there to that source, right? And that oneness of our nature is actually we belong to that source. But somehow or the other, with Maya's avidya inside us and through our vasanas, we have fallen into the bodily identity. That's a different story altogether. Strictly speaking, we belong to the source. That is our real identity. So, through self-realization, when it happens, that oneness of ours, existence, with the Atma, that has to be realized, right? And we have to come to realize that nothing exists here separately from the source. Only the source exists, strictly speaking. Other things have come and gone. Come, they stay sometime, and then they disappear, right? And so, realizing that, and then with that awareness, we should operate in this world. You should operate in this world. Realizing that the source where we came from, it is that same source which has created everything. From the source, we are all not different. We are all coming from the source. But we came in different forms and different identities, and then after we have fallen into Maya, whatever that has happened is the influence of Maya in us, right? But before we fell into Maya, our original status is we belong to that source. That is that Janmadhyasayada. If you look at the commentary on that verse, all 14 famous commentators of Bhagavatam have commented on that verse in such a detail. Because that verse, Janmadhyasayata, itself is a very, 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 requires a lot of explanations to that. Sridhara Swami is this big, Vamshidhara Goswami, he has explained it, Chilsuga Acharya's commentaries on that. So many commentaries on that verse, it's so famous, that first verse in the Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasayata, Nayadhyasayata, that verse, right? When you have manage to do that, that the source has come and that realization has come to us, that it is that source that is present in front of us in the form of these universes, living entities, moving, non-moving, all these things what we perceive here, that then that is what is called Ishavasyam. You know that verse, isn't it? Ishavasyam idam sarvam means this. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Ishvara is the only reality. And this is all Ishvara's another form in that way, right? And what it says that with that knowledge you should cover the whole creation. You should look at the whole creation with this knowledge. And that is where we have to get to. And that is why that verse is important. Yena yada pravrtir bhudanam, yena sarvam idam tatam, sokarmanandam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. Right? So, now, when this knowledge, ishavasyam idam sarvam, comes, right, then certain things will go away from us. For example, right now, when you don't have this realization, right, ishavasyam idam sarvam, if you don't have it, you will think something is good, something is bad, right? And similarly, gunam dosham, good and bad, and then and these thoughts that is affecting us now. Because why? Once they have come, raga dosham will come. If you find something is nice, good, then ragam will come. If you think something is bad, dvesham will come. So, in order that raga dvesham to go, this awareness of ishavasyam idam sarvam has to grow so strongly inside us. That means the world should not be able to create ragadvesham in you. You have to come to that level. We have to come to that level. That the world does not create ragadvesham inside us with this knowledge. That's what Krishna is expecting from self-realization, right? That's why this verse is important, right? And through vijayam process, through your knowledge of the self, right? If you have even a little bit of differences from this situation, right? Your mind won't be peaceful. Shanti won't be there, right? Just like Narada Maharshi is saying there, you will be moving around like a boat in a cyclone or a wind, strong winds in the sea, right? Anyada chintayat paksham. So, that means if a slightest doubt in our mind, if something exists separately from Atma, right, then even that way, that the buddhi won't be stable then. You will be affected by that, right? So, yoga means, basically, what Krishna's point is, yoga means, right, buddhi becomes settled, not creating any more further thought waves inside, right? So that means the mind has to find a place where it finds some stability, with and mind should not move from there anymore, right? So otherwise, then once you have established there, then the mind should not create any problems, right? Otherwise, it will create this Veda Buddhi. Something is good, something is bad, right, wrong. All these are Veda Buddhi it is coming from, right? So, similarly, divine nature, demonic nature, this will all keep coming one after the other, right? And this will take a lot of time to come to this realization, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, right? And we have to work very hard to get there, right? And that is what this yajnam, what is what Krishna is talking about in this verse, right? Sorvanadam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava, right? O yato yasmad, through sukarmam, how one gets liberated, through sukarmam. What Krishna is saying here is that all living entities and their karmam has come from Ishvara, come from Krishna. So we have come from Krishna, the world has come from Krishna, and all the karmam has come from Krishna, right? And this world is also Krishna. It's not different from Krishna, right? And that same Ishvara is present throughout the world, right? So people who belong to different varnam, right, with their karmam, if they worship that Ishvara, with their karmam, if they worship him, right, they will eventually get that jnananishta and this realization. That's the point Krishna is driving at, right? So, yeah, that. So these verses 45 and 46 are very connected and connected to Vedantam. Krishna is explaining. Yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tadam. If you look at the words, it is very simple. Sokarmanatham abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. The words are few words only, but it implies all this. It implies all these things, right? That is how Acharya Swamiji has spoken about these two verses, right? Yada pravrtir bhudhanam. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So, which means that from which that source from where all living entities have come. All living entities, right? Yena sarvam idam tadam. In where that source is present in everything. The same source is present in everything. Yena sarvam idam tadam. Right? Yada pravrtir bhudhanam. All living entities has come from that source. And ena sarvamidam tadam, and that source, Chaitanyam, if you keep on worshipping him, worshipping means through your karma, you please him all the time, that source, from where we have all come, and all the other things have come, the world has come. If you, through your karma, if you use everything what is available in pleasing him, yena sarvam idam tadam, right? And then you cannot do worshipping him like the way worship we can. When we say worship, normally we think that it's like making an arati plate and doing arati. That's not what it means, right? This verse brings a lot of other issues, problems, right? Problem is means to understand that. For example, Arjuna, take for example. Arjuna has to worship that source. How his worship is? As a Kshatriya, he has to do his karmam properly. And that is his worship of the source. Arjuna's worship of the source is executing the karmam where Krishna has put him in. He is a Kshatriya, he has to do his part as what is demanded from his varnam. Right? So, so when, while executing that karmam, right, he has to do it in such a way. For example, you can see here, right, normally when we worship, we make a leaf and water and flowers, incense and things like that, right? You can't use all that, worship him and then say, I'm going to kill you now. That's not what that means, right? What he's saying here is that, this knowledge inside should work all the time, that Arjuna has to be realizing that I'm doing this because I'm worshipping the source where everything has come. Everything belongs to the source. And Krishna is saying, I am that source from everything comes from. It's too subtle thing it is to understand. But if you think about it, you will understand this, right? Puja means it's a bhavam inside, right? That is what is called puja means. Puja, normally we misunderstand puja. Puja we start taking that you have to go to temple and do the worship of the deity. So from because of the deities we have got this impression, puja means deity worship. And with an arrow, that's the only way you can do puja. No. Here puja means it's a bhavam inside. And what is that bhavam? That's what he's saying here. Yada pravartir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tatam. In other words, that the source from where everything has come, that you are worshipping that source, right? Yena sarvamidam tatam, because that source is present in everything. Actually, only Brahmam exists. Sarvam kalidam Brahmam, right? Only Brahmam exists. And Brahmam is Krishna. Krishna is Brahmam. When we make it in a form, we say Krishna. Otherwise, it is Chaitanyam, pure consciousness. And that alone exists here, in all these different forms. So, with all that, with that knowledge, so we should not confuse these two things. Puja is not like that. Puja here, it is a bhavam inside. For Arjuna is a kshatriya and his duty is worshipping that source, Krishna, through his fighting spirit. That is his karma, varnam, varna dharma, right? So, for example, we are taking prasadam, right? Why do we do that? Because we say all the prayers and all. Why is that? Yeah. To create this bhavam, that annam is also brahmam. Annam is also brahmam. And in brahmanas, when they do, they have this pranagni hotram, when they do that, right? And annam cha brahmam, bhokta cha brahmam. In this way, so many anishtanam they have got, right? The idea behind all this is to infect, to induce this Brahma Buddhi in us. That existence of that source in us, right? but what happens is, over a long period of time, the spirit goes away. People become more ritualistic. So when they become ritualistic, their mind moves away from this. They forget all these things. That is the problem. Right? And it will just become a ritual then. So that is why it is so important to understand Shastram all the time. What does it mean, all these things, when we do the deity worship? Similarly, what is Krishna explaining to us through Bhagavad Gita? And that this verse is one of the important ones. That bhakti is not only deity worship or chanting the holy name. Bhakti is a bhavam inside. Always connected to Krishna in whichever situation you are. Able to remain in that state. That is bhakti. That's what it is. Sokarmanatham abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Krishna is saying in all situations, through karma, whatever you are doing, siddhim vindadi manava, you can become perfect. That's what Krishna's point is. You can become perfect in whatever situations you may be, provided this bhavam is inside. Sokarmanatham abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Krishna is saying, you can become perfect. Right? So the problem is, if Shastram is not properly understood, this will all be lost in course of time from inside. So then what happens? People simply memorize the verses and they chant the verses, and Bhagavad Gita comes into that state. Rather than, even if you don't memorize the verses, if you understand the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, what Bhagavad Gita is saying, that's more important, right? So, everything happens in him, the source, right? It stays in him, in the source, right? And it goes back to the source. That source is more important, right? and not to forget about that. And if you forget that, without forgetting that, if you can act in this world the way the dynamism, it becomes a spiritual experience at that stage, right? And that's what Krishna calls it as Brahma Karma Samadhi. In previously he used that word. Brahma Karma Samadhi, that's the word he has used, not in this verse, in the fourth chapter, I think he says that. So, what that means is that karmam itself becomes a Brahma Anubhav, experience of Brahman, right? So, if one can make one's life, right, it through karmam experience that Bhagavad Anubhav, Anubhavam of Brahman, right? If you succeed in doing that, or bring that bhavam inside you, right, to the extent that bhavam comes, it becomes a worship. To the extent that bhavam comes inside. So, developing that bhavam is more important. Bhakti bhavam, right? And it is possible, like even eating prasadam becomes a worship of Krishna. Eating the prasadam, right? Similarly, that bhavam, if it comes to all our activities in life, material activities even, work at office, at home, can become in that way. Because these verses are very key verses in the Bhagavadam, and practically it is possible to transfer spirituality into life. That's what it is talking about. You see, normally we think, this is my job in the office, my material life, and my spiritual life, I have segregated that, right? Morning 3 to 5 or 3 to 7 for spiritual life, and the rest of the time for material life, to earn money, to maintain the family. So we have made them two things separate, right? But once you come to this understanding, you have, there's only spiritual life, there is no material life. Even if your so-called material activities can become spiritual, if this realization, if you operate with, that is what it is saying here. This separation is not the right way to do it. Separation, you are doing it because we have been grown enough spiritually. Therefore, we do it like this. We consider morning hours for spiritual life, rest of the day for the family or for the employer. We have made it like that. That's how most of the people operate in this world. That shouldn't be actually. This is the proper state of spiritual life. That there is no material life, there is only spiritual life. That means whatever you are doing in the office or in the factory or whatever it is, business or whatever it is, it has to become spiritual. And the way to become spiritual is, Krishna is explaining that, yada pravartir bodhani, that's connection with the source, where it came from. Yada pravartir bodhanam, yena sarvam idam tadam. This work I am doing in the office, factory or everything is also coming from Krishna. And that also has to be done with this understanding that Krishna is behind everything, right? Yado yasmat pravartihi ulpatihi cheshtava yasmat andaryamana ishwarat bhutanam praninam syad yena ishwarena sarvam idam jagat tadam vyaptam sokarmana purvoktena prativarnam tam ishwaram abhyarchya pujayitva aradhya kevalam jnananishtha yogalakshanam siddhim vindati manava manushyaha yadevam tata. So they will, these people who have done that, Krishna is saying that, they will get established in the self at the end. At the end. So, when we don't have this realization, that is how we are now. We do things as though it is separate from the source. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, we say, the work what we do. Work for earning money, and then we say it is for maintaining the body. That is the karmi's way of looking at things. Spiritual way of looking at things is, it's an offering to Krishna. Able to see it that way. Right? Because here, nothing exists except Krishna. We are thinking that there is something separately from Krishna. Right? Nothing here. Right? Even going to bathroom toilets is also a Bhagavad Aradhana, offering to Krishna. Right? So, we are thinking that toilet is an impure place to go there. That is in our mundane perception, right? And in Vrindavanam, there was some Mahatma who lived there, right? So there people were having trouble with others in many times, right? So finally he found out a toilet where there nobody was giving trouble. He went and stayed there in the toilet, right? And he sat there and chanted there. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji did the same thing. That's what he did, isn't it? He got, people gave him trouble everywhere. So he said, I'll go to toilet and chant there. Now, nobody goes and chants in the toilet. We like our nice clean temple room and we bring all our... But why did Gaur Kishore Das did do that? Because Gaur Kishore was in a higher state of consciousness. For him, the Beda Buddhi has gone. Toilet, clean place, dirty place, all these things have gone from him. So he was able to do that, right? He could see the toilet as a temple, in other words, right? And every stone in that toilet has become purified because of his chanting, right? So that principle is what Krishna is saying. So karmanatham abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. Even with any karma, whatever may be the karma, if it is executed with this consciousness, it becomes an offering to Krishna and he will become perfect. That is all point Krishna is driving at. Yata pravartir bhodanam yena sarvam idam tadam. So karmanatham abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. It's a very heavy verse, it is, in the sense that it covers our actual life has to turn in that way. That means you need to have a very deep understanding of that, how to manage our life in this world in this way, to make it so spiritual that sokarmanam abhyarcha siddhim indadi manava, what Krishna is saying there. Right? And so the thing is that our bhavana inside, what we, in our bhavana, imagination, right? And our karma, right? All these things, manomandalam, bhavamandalam, and our sharira mandalam, in all these things, right, how to make it divine. That is what that verse is saying. How to make that divine, right? And that wonderful process, Krishna calls it as yogam, right? But we require a certain sushma buddhi, a subtle knowledge for doing that, right? And if you have that sushma buddhi, how to make the life in this way, then Krishna is saying that you will become self-realized here itself. You will get established in the knowledge of the self here. And therefore, this verse is an extremely subtle verse. This verse 46. To understand it first is very difficult. And even if you understand it, how to translate that into life and to make that in tune with this verse, that requires some skill. Skill means proper knowledge, and one has to be so focused on that. Otherwise, it won't happen. That's why the difficulty with this verse. Yada pravartir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tatam so karmanatham abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Right? And therefore, this verse is a very extremely subtle verse in the 18th chapter. We'll continue next week. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Din Adiasma Părăuții și la Părăuții.